Welcome to Real Estate Coaching Radio, starring award-winning real estate coaches and number one international best-selling authors, Tim and Julie Harris. Real Estate Coaching Radio is the nation's number one daily radio show for realtors who demand authentic, real-time coaching. Get ready for fluff-free, unfiltered, full-strength honesty about what's truly working to get you into action, helping others, and making money now in today's real estate market. Now to our hosts, Tim and Julie Harris.
We're joined today by J.D. McClintock, one of Palm Beach County's most respected real estate professionals and an expert in supporting his clients in buying, selling, leasing, and investing in residential real estate. As a second-generation realtor, he spent close to 20 years of his life working with clients to achieve their South Florida lifestyle aspirations. Over the course of his career, he's personally participated in closing over 1,000 transactions, representing $300 million in volume. When asked, past clients of JD expressed their gratitude for his knowledge of the community and his relentless efforts to ensure a smooth and successful transaction. Much of this can be contributed to both his local upbringing and his outstanding achievements as an athlete. The same type of consistent dedication that it took JD to become the number one ranked water skier worldwide is the same dedication he brings to his real estate practice when working with his clients. Combined with his impeccable negotiation skills and marketing expertise, it's no wonder why he's been asked to take such active roles as a board member for various leading institutions within the industry. JD is proud to be of service to the Palm Beach community for all of your real estate needs. His commitment to education and supporting client goals for developing long-term wealth means servicing a range of clientele, including first-time homebuyers, veterans, high-net-worth investors, and everything in between. Now, let's welcome JD to the call as we join our host, Tim Harris.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Ventura. I appreciate that fantastic introduction. So, I met the McClintocks, Julie and I did originally, a long time ago, over 10 years ago, when the wheels were starting to come off the wagon as far as the real estate market. And some of you will remember JD's mom, Michelle, who was and still is probably one of the most, I think, respected authorities on short sales in the nation. She's where we go when we're asking information about what's happening in the marketplace. She's essentially the ultimate canary in the coal mine for market undulations across the country. So JD is equally as impressive as far as his knowledge, not just about distressed stuff, but just in the market in general. And another thing that makes him so exceptional is he's one of these guys that's, you know, he doesn't fit the typical realtor profile. When you read the realtor profile, people are, you know, agents are what, in their 50s, and they're an average is of, what, 56-year-old female. Well, JD's not that. And, I think he represents the best of the new breed of agents that are going to, I'm sure they're going to realize and are realizing an amazing opportunity being a real estate agent in this marketplace is. So, JD McClintock, welcome, and thank you for being my co-host today.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And, man, you make a guy feel good when you get an introduction by you. So I'm excited about this.
You can replay that every morning when you're getting up to make yourself feel better.
I'll look in the mirror while it's playing.
That's right. So tell them a little bit more about you, where you sell real estate, how they can get a hold of you. And then I want to talk a little bit about you're involved in a lot of very impressive and started a lot of really impressive real estate related things. And I want to talk about that a little bit just so they understand who they're listening to.
Well, yeah. So JD McClintock, I'm with the Realtors Association of Palm Beach and the Greater Fort Lauderdale. So anywhere in Palm Beach County is my primary market. When you think of Palm Beach, think of the Southern White House, you think of my area where I live. So, and if you want to reach me, the best email is jd@livelovere.com. That's livelovere.com, which is for real estate, of course. So, I love this industry. I've been in it since the 2 days after I turned 18. I worked with my dad for about a year before that, so got a foundation from somebody who's, you know, pretty good resource to learn from. I've been doing this for 15 years now, about 8 years in, I got involved in the Realtors Association life and started getting involved there, which you can expand on in a minute. And just sold a lot of real estate. About a year ago, I started a title company, so opened up another avenue within the real estate vertical that that I can, you know, have some another form of business in. And this is my career. This is what I do. This is what I love. So,
well, so you're right in that. I mean, you're in your early 30s, obviously, very successful. You have your whole career in front of you. What are you worried about, the all these technologists and the artificial intelligence? Because I have to tell you, people in their 50s and 60s are just hoping and praying that they're able to, you know, accumulate enough savings so that they don't have to be replaced by some virtual version of themselves. So from a perspective of someone who has their whole career in front of them and also someone who grew up with technology, it's, you know, not something that you had to learn, but you it's almost innate, I'm sure it is to you. What is your take on all the hype about AI?
You know, I think it's going to help us. I mean, there's going to be aspects of the real estate world that change and, you know, are changing as we speak. But, you know, a lot of this AI that's coming in, I feel like, and what I'm seeing, just makes our job more efficient to some degree. And as long as we're building and changing with it, you know, I can see where it's going to be a good thing, not necessarily negative. You know, we're going to see change. I mean, even if you look at the National Association of Realtors, they have a whole division that's an investment company to work alongside of and be part of the technology that's coming in. And these technology companies are clamoring for NAR to be involved, not a competitor with them. So if we're looking at it from a top-down perspective and we're joining forces with these guys, they want to work with us, from what I can see, not necessarily just destroy us. So I see a bright future for us. It's just going to change, and you're going to have to be better at what you do to stand out in it.
When you're new in real estate, listeners, you don't realize that the greatest value you're going to create is going to be your centers of influence, past clients, the people that you've been able to successfully do business with, or at least the people you're communicating with and hopes to be doing business with. And with everything that JD just said, it's in alignment with obviously what our view is as well. But definitely be careful whose AI you associate yourself with. We did a couple podcasts, JD, I don't know if you listened to them, where I was summarizing a conversation I had with Gary Keller. Tons and tons of people listened to those. Had some interesting emails, nothing overly, you know, aggressive, but a lot of people that are challenging my premise. But here was the bottom line, and I'm curious what you think about this. It's okay if you don't agree, but this is my premise. So, as you know, the idea is that everyone, all agents at Keller Williams, are going to have these AI software programs, in essence, that are branded to them, and they're going to do their best to get all their customers, centers of influence, and some past clients. You know, the old way of, you know, you want to jam as many people in your CRM as possible. Well, the new way of thinking is you're going to jam them into the Keller Williams CRM, and you're going to try to get them using the app. The app is going to be powered by artificial intelligence, and I'm going to assume that Gary's going to do a kick-ass job of developing this thing, and I'm going to assume that it's going to probably become the best real estate app on the market. I'm just going to assume that he's going to implement, because he definitely has proven his ability to do that. But the thing that scares me is that even if you leave Keller Williams, that app still remains on all those people's phones. And that means that that app is going to then be forming the relationship with those people that should have been or might still be in your center of influence of past clients. So you, in essence, have you know, basically loaded into their lives a app that's going to effectively try to disintermediate you and that client's relationship, because the artificial intelligent app is then going to, you know, continue to try to cultivate a tighter relationship with that person. And if they pop up as being interested in buying or selling real estate and you're no longer at Keller Williams, I'm just using this as an example because Keller Williams is the most, I think, the furthest along in creating this technology. Well, guess what? That lead is not going to go to you. So when they say, yes, you leave with your database and your contact and your contacts are yours, that does not mean that all of a sudden magically the app on all the people's phones that you, you know, had put on is going to just disappear from their phones. They're still going to have that relationship with that app. They then, you know, a year from now after you leave, they click the button and say, I'm interested in selling my house, with its current value. Do you really think Keller Williams is going to send that lead to you as a non-Keller Williams agent now? Of course not. So be careful what technology you align yourself with and make sure it's in alignment with your long-term vision of yourself in the real estate business. I'm curious what your take on that is as a mostly millennial.
No, I completely agree, and I've listened to a couple of your podcasts recently, and some of the conversations around that personal connection, and that you know, that if you actually pick up the phone and actually talk to people and actually keep a real relationship, not just depend on these tech platforms to do it for you, you know, you're going to continue to be successful in this business. I completely agree with you. I mean, they're not going to hand that lead back to you when you leave the company. It may keep, you know, somewhat of a relationship, but it's not a relationship with you. It's a relationship with the company. So,
That's right.
In my opinion, the AI is good from some of what it can help us do. But if you want to stay in this game long term and at a high level, you got to pick up the phone. You got to build relationships outside of the technology to continue to grow if that's what you want to do and be in this long term.
Well, the thing that really kind of freaked me out, and again, I said this already publicly, but when Keller Williams says they're a tech company and their customer is real estate buyers and sellers and that their customer is not realtors, agents, that makes me nervous. That tells you, listeners, where on the podcast and otherwise, that tells you where their priorities are, and you got to make sure that your priorities for your business and your financial future is in alignment with the company you're aligning with. So just these are just things to think about. Again, I just use Keller Williams as an example because they have the most, I think, formed vision of the future. I'm sure other people are going to copy them, other companies, other this, that's the other. And, yeah, so be careful about that. Now, let's talk about something you just said. You said picking up the phone. Is that something that is that's like the hardest thing for most people to do, but people that have grown up on technology where everything's digital, picking up the phone is like must be speaking Mandarin to someone from, you know, an English-speaking country. How do you – when you talk – I know you do a fair amount of public speaking yourself, so when you talk to people your age and younger, how do you get them past that reluctance to actually, you know, have a real conversation?
Challenging it is. No, I mean, a lot of people want to communicate through Facebook Messenger and text. And, I mean, those are ways to further a conversation or gather information or continue to touch. But it still doesn't replace what we're doing right here. You know, when you're talking to somebody, you can sense who they are, how they are, where they are in, you know, in their thought process, particularly in real estate. And as a salesperson, you know, that's how you can feel where conversation. I mean, I communicate through text every day and everything else, but when I'm on the phone with somebody, I can feel where they are and kind of help them along in the process, and I don't think you can necessarily do that the same way through, you know, other platforms.
Well, so you just said two very critical things. Essentially, the SMSing and the messaging and the this, that, the othering is all supposed to reinforce the real conversations that you're supposed to be having, number one. And I also heard JD say that he intuitively knows more than what's being conveyed to him in the words that they're using when he's listening to the voice. How long did it take for you to develop that spidey sense?
I think it comes as you go along, but you can also be aware of it, like, you know, consciously aware that this is a way of communication. And I mean, it's not the same as standing in person with body language, but you can, you know, tonality and mirroring and matching is important in what you're doing. And that sense, or at least being aware that you can get more information if you know what these things are, can play a big difference in how effective you are when you're communicating with somebody. I mean, I've been somewhat of a student, not crazy NLP type of student, but I've been aware of it and implemented it into what I do probably since my early 20s when I became aware of it.
Well, NLP is interesting in that it's usually not – it's really just a study of what successful people who are great communicators already do. So that's in essence what NLP is. The problem with a lot of the NLP training is that it goes overboard. And people then start acting completely fake and artificial. I've seen people that have taken a lot of NLP classes, and you can actually see them doing the mirroring and the matching, and you've seen them, you know, the guy they're talking to scratches his head, so they scratch their head. They're trying to – I mean, just all this stuff is just kind of silly. And none of it's based on real science. It's all pseudoscience, and that's something that – yeah, but I get your point, though. It is something that once you start tuning into that frequency, just to stay on the NLP hippie wavelength here, that you do start communicating at a higher level. And that's the thing, that if you've never learned how to sell over the phone, if you've never actually learned how to have real conversations, you're never going to develop that skill. And you're always going to be dependent on buying buyer leads. So let's talk a little bit about lead generation. But before we do, I was really your family has were longtime Keller Williams agents. And I think you guys were with RE/MAX originally, weren't you? Or am I remembering wrong?
Century 21. My parents then went to RE/MAX, and I was affiliated with them. And then we moved to Keller Williams until about 6 years ago when, you know, we made a change again back in January of this year.
Okay, so we're going to talk about what you're doing for lead generation, because some of the stuff, it's great. But before we do, I want you to – why did you guys switch to eXp? Explain that to me.
So we moved to eXp because I think it took – so we don't move fast. Keller Williams, it took us like 5 years to move there, which was crazy. I'd say eXp, it took us 2 years to finally make the move there, which is nuts. And it was 2 years too long, in my opinion. But we moved because, I mean, I was very intimately involved in Keller Williams. I respect the company. I have a ton of respect for Gary Keller, like you seem to in the way you talk about them and where they're moving. But at the same time, some of the way they do things or the biggest opportunities that I see in eXp should have been with Keller Williams, but weren't the way they do. And that's the revenue share model versus the profit share model. When being intimately involved, having worked for Keller Williams offices as coaches and different affinities with them, I understood how they got to the bottom line dollar. And I didn't necessarily always love it because brick and mortar, payroll, all of these things attributed to who got some of the profit share at the bottom line and how much they actually got. Whereas when I looked at eXp and we looked at eXp and saw, okay, this is revenue. This is off the top. I know consistently what I'm going to get. I saw the opportunity in that that I wanted to see in Keller Williams but didn't.
Well, so you talked about the revenue share. That's definitely unique with eXp. I had this very conversation with – it's the number one question we get, probably number three, I'd say. You know, people are asking us, what brokerage should I join? The question we're getting a lot nowadays is, you know, should I switch brokerages? And it's interesting when people – sometimes they come to – I'll call them back. I'll just email them back, podcast listener, maybe it's a client. And I always kind of ask them why they're thinking about switching, and they almost always do the same thing. They're coming through what they know to have been one of the best sellers markets, or maybe they're just brand new in real estate, but they realize we're in a changing market, and they really don't have anything to show for it. They don't have any money saved. They're not real confident in their financial future. You know, all these types of things. And so the question I asked them was, well, does your current broker offer revenue share? And the answer is usually, well, it's no. And so does your current broker offer you equity share, where they give you stock awards and whatnot? And the answer is no. You know, and so then you shine light on the fact that, well, as an eXp agent, and this is what I hear constantly with these agents, these interviews we're doing, because eXp asked us to do these interviews for them, and here's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing agents that are making money from real estate commissions primarily. I'm hearing agents that are making money from, or they're improving their net worth from essentially being given stock. So that's number two. They're making money from revenue share, which is huge. It's extraordinary, and we can drill down on that in a second. But the other thing I hear them very excited about, there's other ways they're making money as well. If they're icon agents, they end up actually not paying a cap and things like that because they get the money back in the form of stock. But what people are really excited about and what makes me excited about with regards to eXp is it gives people a financial way forward. So I was having another conversation with somebody, and this person was trying to understand the revenue model. And here's the best way to explain it that I've seen. If you have $1 million and you invested that, and let's say you just invested it carefully, you're not going to go crazy, and you're going to get 5% a year. That means you're going to basically have $50,000 come in per year before taxes and whatnot. And once you understand how the eXp revenue share model works, and you realize – and so let's go take a half step back. How long will it take for you to accumulate $1 million? For most of you listening, the answer is you'll never accumulate $1 million. You won't in cash. You won't. And you will never have $1 million accumulated in order for you to actually create that passive income. Sad but true, number one. Number two is that if you factor in the amount of time and effort that it'll take for you to even get on the path to saving that amount of money, it's extraordinary. With eXp, for you to earn $50,000 a year from the revenue. Well, heck, you created a really kick-ass video, didn't you? And that's part of the video. I should have just mentioned that. So you have a great video that you created that explains EXP and explains the revenue share model. How do they get that video?
If they type in join EXP in a text
message. Well, they have to text it.
Yeah, they have to text it to 31996. So it's join EXP and then send that to 31996. They'll get a great video that 7 minutes, that's all. And it's one of the best things we've put together to give somebody a true overview of what the opportunity is.
So I'm hearing you say text to 31996 the word, and there's no spaces, text the word join EXP to 31996, correct, JD?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, good. And they'll get it, and they'll be text back immediately, a 7-minute video they can watch that essentially answers the question. But I'm going to talk about, just if you don't mind, the other path forward that people, you know, in the real world, in real estate especially, have used for ages to accumulate wealth. And that's buying rental properties, and that's the route primarily that Julie and I did. And, you know, the goal is that one day your rental properties will be paid off to the extent that you can just live off the cash flow. Well, yesterday, Julie and I were driving around. She gets a text that, you know, one of the basements in one of the properties that we own has flooded. And there's another property that has had an electrical problem. And it's not unusual because we have a lot of properties where there's things going wrong a lot. Now, we could hire a property manager in the properties we have in some states. We do have property managers for those. But for the most part, we manage them ourselves. Why am I telling you all this? Because even on the more traditional path of accumulating income properties, even if you were to then do accumulation of income properties and buy stock, the amount of time it's going to take for you to accumulate enough money, enough cash flow for you to live off of, most of you, if you really thought about it, will not do it because it's too extraordinary of a goal unless the amount of money that you need to live off of is like $2,000 or $3,000. Or less, really, because then you can buy some rental properties and maybe you can manage them yourself and, you know, you'll probably be able to, you know, that's not a very great lifestyle. But if you look at the revenue share model that eXp offers, I've never seen anything like it. And talking with agents like you that have joined eXp and hearing the enthusiasm and excitement that you have for how much money you can make off revenue share, it really, truly is a rule changer. At your age, knowing that you have that clear path forward of how you can actually, I mean, become a multi-millionaire. How does that feel?
I mean, I'm next level excited. Like, I have only a couple goals in my life. I love what I do with the associations. I love knowing that I have an impact on the industry, and I travel a lot for it. I want to speak and coach and mentor. I've always wanted to own a brokerage, but I, you know, didn't love the responsibility and the cost of doing it. I have that opportunity. And, oh, by the way, through all of that, the revenue share will multiply and make me more money based on the math that I've done looking at it than I would ever do anywhere. And it's all in one place that I get to combine all the things that I'm passionate about. So, I mean, I've been in this for 15 years and I'm re-enthused and more excited than I've ever been about what's coming next.
It does, as Gene Frederick says, it does really truly make real estate fun again. That's the thing that's kind of interesting that I hear from a lot of the EXP types. And I did watch the video. It was fantastic. Go ahead and text the word join EXP. There's no spaces. Join EXP and text to 31996. So I promised that we were going to talk a little bit about lead generation. I want you to talk about the networks and the association involvement, what you do, why you do it, how that's benefited your business.
So I got involved with my local association only about 6 years ago. And sort of like I said, I'm re-enthused again now. I was almost ready to kind of step out of real estate at that point, and it kind of re-impassioned me. And the reason was is like on a day-to-day, I could see the things that we were doing impacted other realtors, and the realtors that were involved were the ones that were excited and saw, hey, this is part of what the industry does. So I got majorly involved. I'm currently at this point, I'm the vice president of the southern region of Palm Beach County. We've got 110 miles of coastline and 30,000 members. We operate bigger than most of the states in the U.S. as far as an association. I'm a board of director locally. I'm a board of director for the state of Florida, and I'm a board of director for NAR. And then one of the biggest things I got involved in was the political realm, which is most people don't understand. Your association is not just the tools. Your association is about keeping professionalism in the industry and the advocacy. And on the advocacy line, we do a lot of fundraising to support that through our PAC, but then that money is spent to make sure that property rights are protected. We're the largest, NAR is the largest trade organization in the U.S., and we're one of the most respected because we keep everything in a positive realm of how do we improve and how do we protect home ownership, business, and obviously, you know, the realtor's rights to do business in every state that they're in. So, I mean, it's a pretty incredible, when you start to look into it, the first time you get involved, if you come in at the right angle of what it really is about, it's one of the most inspiring things you can do when you realize what the R actually means.
Well, so let me ask you, someone who's politically involved, okay, why is it that the, I know this is seemingly a, this is a landmine question, but why hasn't NAR and the associations in Florida and all the rest of it, why haven't they done a more thorough job of educating agents on the perils of essentially buying buyer leads and sharing, oversharing of data? Why is it that the industry, and maybe you don't agree with this statement, it's perfectly okay if you don't agree, but why is it seemingly that the industry has co-opted its responsibility to its members with regards to and essentially telling them that maybe going down the path of buying buyer leads is not going to create a long, sustainable business. And now, sure enough, Zillow comes out, and they're talking about the fact that, you know, the new CEO, Rich Barton, is kind of not – he's not pulling any punches and essentially saying how he sees the vision of the future of real estate, not necessarily directly involving agents in the sense that we are in the way that we are now. So from someone who operates from the inside, JD, I'm asking you why it is that your association has not been more proactive about warning agents about the perils of the oncoming onslaught of these technologists who would just love to disintermediate us. So that's my question.
Yeah. So the real answer to that is that if we – And I can we pause? We got to pause for a second on this.
Okay, pause.
Pause. Sorry. I need to find the word that I'm looking for. I apologize.
We're not going to pause. We're just going to keep the recording going. I'll help you with the word. What's the word? Being politically correct and not offending members?
No, it's not that. It's Jesus Christ, I'm losing my mind.
Listeners, you're listening to a real live millennial lose his mind.
basically, the U.S. government won't allow it. It's against trade regulation.
Antitrust.
Antitrust is what I'm looking for. Thank you.
Oh,
losing my mind. That's losing my mind at 33. I mean,
okay, but the fear is that, well, that's what happens when you've been in real estate for a long time. Wait till you've been in business as long as we have, son. That's gonna be real bad.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
here's the thing.
I really hold on. Yeah. I have to say this. I am not speaking right now on behalf of NAR or Florida Realtors or my local association. But the answer you're gonna get at anybody is that it would be antitrust for them. For anyone to step in and tell people what they can and can't do within the businesses that they run.
Not can and can't do, but maybe shouldn't do. The industry doesn't even do shouldn't do. I mean, there's very few people in the brokerage business that doesn't even do shouldn't do. Not saying can and can't do. You know, just, hey, look, maybe doing business with a company who's overt, you know, clear mission statement is to make it so that agents' only script they'll ever need to know is, do you want fries with that? Maybe doing business with a company like that's not the right move. Maybe what agents should be doing is making it so that consumers never want to get rid of them because the agents offer so much value into the transaction, and that comes from, you know, skills and things like that. So just for what it's worth, from the perch that you have, and I'm sure you're going to continue to ascend in the political National Association of Realtors realm, I can see you being the president, if not the CEO of NAR one day, if that's what you're aspirational for. I mean, these are just conversations that probably need to be had in a more overt way because the technologists aren't sitting around living in fear of what we're going to do. They don't even really seem to take the industry seriously. They're just forging forward, and, you know, it's like the White Walkers on Game of Thrones. I mean, that's really the vision I have when I'm thinking about, you know, you got that Game of Thrones dragon flying around and all the, you know, the blue, you know, living dead things. And, I mean, they're coming for us, and we are not seemingly ready for it. The iBuyer wave, is that even affecting you yet in your marketplace? The iBuyers crept in?
Well, And they're really not. I think Miami, they might be coming into. But, I mean, I recently read something that for as much hype as there is for the iBuyer thing, and I think it will be a significant, relatively piece of markets as we move forward. For as big as everybody has it in their mind, their market share is, like, less than 1% of what's going on right now. So I'm not saying it's not going to be an aspect of what we do and that things aren't changing. But I don't think it's as frightening as everybody thinks it is in this moment. And yes, we need to keep an eye on it. I mentioned earlier, NAR is forward thinking. They are looking at and have a massive division that invests in or collaborates with the technology companies. And technology companies are reaching out to them, and they're reaching out to technology companies going, let's work together. We've got 1.4 million members that want to associate with you if we can work together. So there's strength in what they're doing. I mean, with the new CEO that's there, the new campaigns, the Who We Are campaign that just come out, I think is the best campaign we've had as realtors in a very long time to both say to our membership and to the consumer base that we serve, hey, this is the value that comes with the realtor. We're more than just Vanna White opening a door. You know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the background that protects you on a daily basis to keep your taxes low, to keep you in homes in Florida, to reduce the sales tax on business leases. The average realtor does not understand, and I think over the last 4 or 5 years, the associations are doing a better job of going, hey, we're more than just the MLS and a set of tools and something to join because you have to. No, there's a massive value here. We just haven't done as good a job until the last couple of years of going, here's what it is, and here's why we exist to help you.
Well, it's people like you, JD, that are going to carry that forward, that vision forward. And I hear the enthusiasm in your voice. We were just talking about, you know, the power of having a phone call, right? Power of hearing someone's voice. I can hear in your voice that you're serious about what you're saying, and that's very encouraging. Just don't be afraid to, break some of the crystal chandeliers at the mighty halls of NAR, because they need to be broken. Otherwise, we're going to be out of business. We're going to go from what is undoubtedly the greatest trade organization that ever has been to being extinct. And, it's funny, back in the real estate crash, you know, full circle in my mind when we originally ran into your parents, NAR was fighting for real estate agents to even stay part of the real estate transaction. People don't know what the National Association of Realtors did behind the scenes. I was talking with, I don't remember his name, but he was at National Association of Realtors. He was sitting in on we interviewed him before the podcast. It was just an interview that we did, and we emailed it out, but forever ago. And he was sitting in this meeting with the FDIC, and the banks were there, basically, and they got to this clause, and they're trying to work out how to deal with all this distressed property. And there's this little clause that they'd written into this contract the FDIC was about to sign off on. Maybe it wasn't a contract, but just don't get stuck in the words, listeners. And the gist of it was is the banks were going to decide what the commissions were going to be on these distressed properties. And had NAR not been there, to say, no way, Jose, then guess what would have happened? And that would have caused – and that would have been more devastating to our industry than anyone can possibly imagine, especially at that day and age of where the real estate markets were so sketchy as – you know, that's the type of thing that NAR does that nobody knows about. And they probably don't do enough to talk about the things that they do to reinforce real estate agents' careers. They don't talk about that enough. They don't take enough vows for what they've created. So, yeah, I'm agreeing with you about that. So let's pivot back. Let's talk about lead generation. What do you do for lead generation? What's working now? What is something that maybe you were doing in the past that no longer works as well that you've just stopped doing as far as lead generation?
I mean, it might sound mind-blowing from a millennial type, but all or most of my business is relationships. People I've met, other realtors from other states through the work that I do through the Florida Association and NAR. That's a newer one, actually, in the last 6 years of my involvement, but it's being in this business every day, locally, talking to people, doing a great job for them, keeping in touch with them, and when they have a friend or family member that it comes up, I'm top of mind for them, and they do reach out. I mean, I get calls every 2 to 3 days of somebody needing something, whether it's directly real estate today or I'm thinking about it, what can you tell me? And I want to be cooler than I am with, like, technology and lead sources. And I mean, EXP I see as an avenue of helping me with that, with some of the amazing technology they have. But I'm a sphere of influence, talk to people person, man. It's just the reality of what I did. You know, 28 transactions last year, and I know every one of them, and half of them were repeat business from 5 or 6 years ago that either bought or sold again or something like that. So
I just had a live listener just texted me. Guys, if you want to watch, I know all of you do, want to watch JD's EXP Realty video, just text the word join EXP, no spaces, join EXP, text to 31996. So if you want to watch his 7-minute video that he's created for all of you, it's a nice, easy way for you to get the information you need about EXP. Even if you're just marginally EXP curious, text the word join EXP to 31996. All right, so I'm hearing centers of influence and past clients, which obviously is the first spoke that every real estate agent should have on their lead generation wheel. Drill down for me. What are you specifically doing to stay front of mind with all these guys?
So, I mean, I reach out pretty much every quarter to everybody that I know or everybody I've done business with in the past.
Call them, email them, mail them, pumpkin pie them. What are you doing?
I call them, and then I have a business Facebook page, but most of the people that I work with end up being my Facebook friends, and I hate to – Facebook is always kind of a plus and minus conversation with me because I think about – we talk about it too much, but at the same time, it is a way where I can see what they're doing and what I'm doing, and they're all personal friends of mine. They're not just a business transaction to me. So I'll reach out through there, comment, talk to them about what's going on. If I see something that I can help them with, I'll personally reach out. But then once I see that, it's a, hey, I saw this phone call, not just a poke, like, whatever you do on Facebook type of thing. So
what you're doing is you're proactively cultivating the leads and the people that you've, you know, created for yourself in your career. You're proactively cultivating. You're staying on top of what's going on in their lives by sort of stalking them, watching them on Facebook. And that way you're knowing what's going on in their lives. So when you do have the opportunity to reach out for a real estate relevant reason, then you do have other things you could talk about with them at the same time. Or are you saying you reach out to them for non-real estate relevant reasons? You just reach out to them for random reasons. Like the listeners are wanting to know, list when you have a group of people on Facebook and you're texting them and what are you specifically saying to these guys? How are you initiating conversations with them?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how close we are and whatnot, but if I see something going on and I think it's cool, I might call them and say, hey, that's, you know, whatever this was, you went out driving a Ferrari last weekend, where did you do it? That's something I'm interested in. Can you tell me about the experience? Not necessarily straight up real estate related, but at least that reconnects us, right? And then when I do see something like, oh, my mom's come into town, she's thinking about staying with us for a while, we're excited to have her. Well, then I'm going to say, hey, do you guys need a change in what you're doing with, you know, your house or real estate situation? I had dinner with somebody who's been a client before last week, and they said exactly that. Hey, my mom is coming in, and her mom is coming in, and they're getting to an age where, you know, they may be thinking about living with us, and we live in 1,200 square feet right now. That's not going to work. Great. When do you want to start talking about whether or not that's a reality of looking at how you're going to get to your next place? So, I mean, I think everything
is part and parcel. Was there ever a time, you're saying something, but I don't think you realize the value in what you're saying completely. Was there ever a time when you were not willing or able to have a conversation that overtly pivoted to talk about real estate? Because a lot of agents, they'll have that sort of surface conversation about, you know, what you did last weekend and, you know, how many – just silly stuff. But they won't pivot the conversation to ask to talk about real estate because their egos are, you know, flashing red lights that, oh, my gosh, this person's going to think you're a salesperson or they're going to think that you're just hungry and starving and they have all these excuses in their minds why they won't overtly talk about real estate. Did you go through a process of having to work through that, or can you understand the question?
Oh, yeah. You know, once in a while you get that pit in your stomach that goes, oh, you know, are they going to think blah, blah. And here's the thing. How many times have you been sitting in a diner and every table around you is talking about some form of real estate? Like, this is not selling trinkets or soap bars or, you know, infused smells of something that you're trying to get your friends to buy. Like, real estate is the foundation of everyone's life and having a roof over their head. nobody's offended if you go, you know, hey, how can I help you? This is what I do. I'm a professional. When you hear something in the conversation, you just got to get over yourself that for some reason they're going to, because most people, this is one of the like five topics in their life they're always willing to talk about.
Well, you always are going to have a house payment, a living expense of some variety. You're never going to be without needing real estate, ever. You know, that's just true right. If you think about it. And it is something that's omnipresent on people's minds. And in different marketplaces, it's not one. It's like the top three things that people talk about. People will talk about real estate in certain markets in the country before they'll even talk about their kids. You know, because if there's a lot of these markets like in California, if you're down in Palm Beach, and yeah, man, it's people are really focused, hyper focused on money. They're hyper focused on what property values are doing. Did you hear about this sale? Did you hear about that sale? And real estate is it's really the only thing that allows you to have an inventory of products for sale without having any real ongoing expense to maintain that product. If you wanted to open up a little restaurant selling pies, let's say, for example, the cost it would take for you to open the business and the whole thing, if you compare that to the cost, the ongoing expense from having your little pie shop, hoping that you can carve out a meager earning from that, compared to the amount of money you can make from real estate, and you really have no real expense in maintaining inventory. You can have $10, $20 million of homes for sale that are exclusively listed with you that you have no ongoing expense for. If you had if you were a car dealer, and you're not using your own money, which most of them use what's called a floor plan from a bank, you have to pay for that inventory sitting on your lot. With real estate, you have no expense. And furthermore, real estate is something that everyone is curious about all the time to differing degrees. So that's the reason that real estate, I'm sure you get asked this a lot, JD, as a millennial, you must have a lot of people in their 20s asking you about real estate. And you have to have I'm seeing what you're seeing, a lot of younger people finally getting the fact that real estate is probably one of the greatest opportunities to be your own boss and an entrepreneur, and there's so much huge opportunity. So what do you tell younger people when they're interested in real estate? What do you – like if you could coalesce it down to like 3 points to tell anyone interested in getting into real estate – or maybe someone who has a license that's just not doing it with their, they're not actually hitting it out of the park like you are. What would you tell them?
I mean, I'm laughing over here because my example is always a gas station. Like, what opportunity do you have in any industry to be able to sell, even on the low end, something you don't have to own or take possession of and pass hands, and you get a payment the way we do if you provide service at a high level. So I always say you're gonna put $200,000 into a gas station and sell 50-cent chips and make a fortune. Are you kidding me? Like, I think it's nuts. So when I see an opportunity like this and people don't take it at a high level, so what I generally say to people is like, take this seriously. More millennials are getting in and making this a first career. Go out, talk to people is the first thing. Actually, not be afraid. Second is educate yourself through somebody like you guys that are going to give them the right things to say at the right time, the right opportunity, so they're not wasting time. Get educated correctly. You know, your association should have great education. Your companies, and if you're not with a company that provides great education, look at where you are. And then be ready to work hard. Like, that's the other thing. More people get out of this business because of the freedom, and you may have heard that before. But it's true. It's real easy when somebody's not looking over your shoulder to wake up in the morning and do nothing. No, you need to be your own boss. If you would fire yourself, then take a real look at yourself. You need to be willing to work hard, particularly on and grow this and look at it as a business, and don't get yourself out of the business because of the freedom. Is that reasonable to say?
Yeah, no. You said it perfectly. I mean, you basically said do what you don't want to do and you don't want to do it at the highest level. I mean, that's a great way of, summarizing what it really does take long-term to be successful at anything. And if you make a list of all the things that you don't want to do, those very things are the very things that are going to get you paid the fastest. They're the very things that essentially nobody wants to do. But once you learn how to do them, and maybe you get a master level at doing them, I'm not going to say you're ever going to enjoy doing them, but your relationship with the word work is going to change because you're going to see there's a direct correlation between the number of people you help at a high level accomplish their goals and the amount of, everything that you're, how dare I say, allowed to experience in this planet, the amount of abundance of everything, health, love, finances, travel, whatever. There's a direct correlation between how rich you are and how many people you've helped. If you're not where you want to be financially, it's because you have not yet accepted the fact that there's a direct, undeniable relationship between the number of people that you help accomplish their goals, you help accomplish their goals, and the amount of goals of your own that you are able to accomplish. It's that simple. And rich, by definition, is where your money works for you and you no longer work for your money, which is a great pivot back to EXP. I mean, that's the whole thing that I hear from all these EXP agents that I do, that I'm interviewing, podcast listeners, is they're all more motivated than the average agent because they have a very clear path forward, not just on how to sell real estate, and they feel like they're in a supportive environment. And you know, JD, we didn't talk about this, but EXP is crazy. It's like a hive of activity pretty much all day long on the virtual campus. You're never feeling alone, even though it's a virtual campus. You can just log in any time and be in connection with other people around the country and exchange referrals, ideas. Just have somebody you can talk to occasionally if that's what you're looking for. But really, at the end of the day, it's a superior business model because it does put agents first. EXP Realty is in the agent business. They're not they're a technology company that provides technology services for agents. That's a huge difference. So as you're choosing who you're going to align yourself with in this changing market, as you're choosing where who you're going to align yourself with as far as a brokerage goes, it's so critical that you're careful about this because, JD, does it feel like you've been in the business for over a decade? Does it feel like you've been in the business since you were 18? Does it feel like you've been in business for that long?
Some days, but I have a renewed spirit now, so I'm feeling good every day about what I'm doing and excited to wake up and move forward and grow the opportunities that I have in front of me.
Well, that renewed spirit, that's what I was trying to, with too many words, trying to express. Explain to the listeners what that renewed spirit feels like, because a lot of them are looking for that exact same feeling.
Yeah, I mean, it's just being excited that there is this opportunity. I mean, you've said it, and I've heard you say it, is like this company's so collaborative, and I came from a company that was collaborative, but it feels like it's next level. When you can reach out and have conversations with anybody across the U.S. about any subject that you want or you're interested in, you want to find out about more, I'm still learning every day. I don't know everything, and I don't necessarily think I'll ever know everything. So just to know that wherever I want to go, people are open to helping me get there. Guys like you guys, that we have these conversations that are expanding your mind every day. I mean, I am looking at my life and going, hey, I'm pretty successful where I am, but I got a long way to go to be on the levels and with the people that I want to associate with, but I have a path and opportunity to get there. I'm going to take it.
Well, I mean, does it feel like you've been in the business for 15 years? Can you believe how fast the time's passed? And that was rhetorical, but I'll say this. Time seems to go faster the older you get. That's a phenomenon that everyone experiences. The reason that they experience that phenomenon is because most people have Groundhog Day lives. One day is exactly like the other, so your brain does not discern the beginning and the ending of one day to the other. And so your time goes by really fast. And what happens in real estate is your time goes by like 10 times faster than a normal human. So as you're listening to this, many of you guys listening, regardless of what age you're at, you've got to accept the fact that you're probably not going to ever create financial independence for yourself in this lifetime, really, unless you're gonna end up working in real estate or doing something or living. Most people, when they reach, quote-unquote, the age of retirement, are dependent on either the government or a family member just to make ends meet. So even though people have had their entire lives to earn, save, accumulate, build wealth for themselves, they don't do it. Well, why don't they do it? We could talk about that another day. But here's the bottom line, because they didn't have a clear path forward. They didn't have a clear path on how to do it. And that's what I'm excited. That's the reason that is the number one reason I'm so excited about EXP, is because it does create a clear path forward for people to create wealth. So here you are in your early 30s. By the time you're my age, you can be on a completely different trajectory than you otherwise would have been on. And that is something that real estate's never really offered for agents. Agents have always been the foot soldiers. Individual practitioners have always been the cannon fodder, if we're being honest. And now agents have the opportunity, because this company, to be owners in the company and literally have stock, but also they can have revenue share. So they're owners on two different fronts. That's exciting. And, so listeners, he has created a really kick-ass video. You want to make sure – I'm sure some of you are – well, all of you have to be at least somewhat EXP curious. Just text the word JOIN EXP, no spaces, JOIN EXP, text to 31996. So, JD, anything you'd like to say as we wrap up today and how they can get a hold of you if they want to call you directly?
Yeah, my number is 561-827-6420. That's my cell phone. If you've got any questions, any curiosities, I'd say definitely go and text that Join EXP to 31996 first. 7-minute video. Just because you put in Join EXP, it's literally just on your own. Take a look at it, you know, and get that first. And then you have any questions beyond that, you can give me a call, 561-827-6424. Of course, you got anybody in Palm Beach who wants to buy some real estate, I'd love to help them with that too. And my email is jd@livelovere.com.
Hey, you hung out with Trump the other night, didn't you?
I did.
Yes, you did.
One of the nice things about being involved is I go to both the Republican and Democratic annual parties in the county, and we get to meet everyone that's involved in local real estate. We do the same thing in national, but it was pretty neat. I don't care what side you're on with anything. When you're in the same room as the President of the United States and you have that opportunity, it's a pretty cool and special thing. So, any other president, just to be in that room, I would have been there too. And so it was neat. Find me on Facebook. Take a look at some of those pictures. We have fun while we're there too. So.
By the way, how lame is it that you feel like you have to, feather your comments about meeting the president because you're worried about offending people? Screw that. You met the president of the United States. That kicks some serious ass. You know, when Obama came president and I talked about him on our podcast and I didn't say President Obama, I would get berated with emails, it's President Obama. Well, why is it that people aren't saying President Trump? You know, so look. This is the United States of America. He is our elected leader. You had the opportunity to meet him, and I am massively jealous. How about that?
I'll take it, man. I was super excited to be there. So
fantastic. Hey, man, I really appreciate it. Thank you for your leadership. What is it? When are you going to run for NAR president? J.D. McClintock, what year is it going to be?
The way things go, like 2035, but I'm good with that. So.
J.D. McClintock, 2035. All right, I'll get the T-shirts made.
Everyone, wear the T-shirt. I'm going to win just because you wear the T-shirt with your listener base. So.
Oh, I appreciate that. So, listeners, if you want to watch J.D.'s video, which I know all of you do, just text the word join EXP with no spaces, text to 31996. J.D. McClintock, thank you very much for being my co-host. I sincerely appreciate it.
Tim, thank you for having me.
This program has been a presentation by Tim and Julie Harris, Real Estate Coaching. For more information on our real estate coaching and training programs, visit our website at timandjulieharris.com. Remember to tune in weekdays at noon for upcoming shows. And until next time, thank you for listening to Real Estate Coaching Radio with Tim and Julie Harris.